the great Gohan Shamil Hawkins.
Shalom. You may be seated. What an awesome sight. If you will, we'll be turning to page 530, the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. We're going to talk about oil. The world runs on oil. The world runs on oil, but so does the house of Yahweh. And there's a tremendous difference between these oils. So Isaiah chapter 1, look at verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken Yahweh. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger. They have gone away backward. You know, if you think about it, when you listen to the news, you hear that, oh, the wars that are going on now are for oil. And then you have the other side saying, no, it's not for oil. And then you have them coming back and forth. It is, it isn't. It is, it isn't. They're just confused. They can't figure it out. Or they're just caught up in their lies. But you can't help but notice that everything seems to be based, all these wars, this evil, the chasing after money, is based on oil. Not only oil, but coal, natural gas. And you know, they've come up with all kinds of names. I think here in Texas, they call it black gold or Texas tea. It's called petroleum, crude or fossil fuel. You know, those are some of the names that come to mind. But it made me stop and think, why do they call it fossil fuel? Because the Catholic churches, or the Catholics that are in charge of all of the public schools, teach that a whole bunch of dinosaurs died and they all fell in the same place. And then over the thousands of years, you know, the soil, everything piled up on top of them. It created all kinds of pressure and heat and turned them into oil. Fossil fuels. Well, that story is about as old as they get. It's as old as Babylon. It's part of the deception. Yahweh is still allowing the earth to create oil and natural gas and coal. I can remember a news article when, after Mount St. Helens blew, however many years ago that was, it wasn't but 6 or 7 years later they went out there, the scientists went out there, and they're digging around, and they found coal. New coal, not old coal, new coal. The earth is producing these things. It is manufacturing them. It is making them. It's not like, we don't live in the dark ages. Don't fall for all of these deceptions. Turn to page 686, Hosea chapter 4. 686, Hosea chapter 4. And look at verse 6. And it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We here at the house of Yahweh have all knowledge because we follow the book of Yahweh. We follow the last witness who's inspired and directed by Yeshua Messiah, our high priest and king. No other place has a high priest. We will not be destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we are not those that reject this knowledge as the world is. You know, the world has decided to replace the true oil of Yahweh, by which the world should run, with its own variation, so that they could chase after their vanities and after money. Because everything is based out there on money. But it's also, that deception is there so that to deceive, to oppress, to confuse, to rob, to steal, and kill far and by. Just as the priests of the gods do today. That same plan, that same pattern has been followed throughout the history of mankind. If you remember in Acts, look at page 848. Page 848, the book of Acts. We're not going to read all of it, but Acts 14 through 25. If you remember, that's when the apostles were out, and there was this fellow Simon the sorcerer, and he wanted to have that power that the apostles had of laying on of hands and allowing the people to become filled with the Spirit, which is holy. Look at verse 18. And when Simon realized that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Spirit which is holy was given, he offered them money. Chapter 8, verse 19, saying, give me this power also. Notice power. Give me this power also, that on whomever I may lay hands, he may receive Spirit which is holy. Well, when they lay hands on things, what they receive is a spirit which is unholy. Because everything they lay their hands on is for the oppression, for the deception of mankind, for the destruction of mankind. We know that oil is from the microorganisms. You know, that's what makes up everything. We've been taught that. If you remember, turn to page 975, the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Book of Revelation, chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, and I heard the third creature say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures, the quartet, saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. Well, you know, when I was looking at that scripture, I realized, depending on how you look at it, it has a couple of different meanings. We know that the meaning of hurt not the oil and the wine, don't hurt their economy or their teachings, you know, their way of life, their lifestyle. But depending on how you look at it, it can also mean, it could also be very encouraging for us, because that golden oil will not be hurt. We've been promised that the house of Yahweh, the seventh era, will not be put in the grave. So that oil that comes forth from the last day's witness, that golden oil and that lifestyle will not be put down. It will continue to grow. But it's two competing plans, two competing systems that we're living under. And we've chosen the right one. But I mentioned that the world uses oil to oppress and to confuse, to rob, to steal, and to kill. That's why they're over in the third part of the earth right now around the great river Euphrates. It's for the oil. You know, I have a few articles. I'm going to try and just pick little parts, pieces, and bits of it. In this one, it says, Iraq recently reclaimed the number two position in the OPEC, overtaking oil-sanctioned Iran. In 2011, after nearly 9 years of war and occupation, U.S. troops finally left Iraq. In their place, big oil is now present in force. In force. And the country's oil output, crippled for decades, is growing again. So they've reclaimed the number two position of production of oil. I'm trying to see here where it says how much. It says here, as a start, a little scorecard of what's gone on in Iraq since big oil arrived 2.5 years ago. Corruption's skyrocketed. Two Western oil companies are being investigated for either giving or receiving bribes. The Iraqi government is paying oil companies a per barrel fee according to widely unrealistic production targets they've set. Whether or not they deliver that number of barrels, contractors are heavily overcharging for drilling wells, which companies don't mind since the Iraqi government picks up the bill. In Kurdistan in the north, the regional government awards contracts on land outside its jurisdiction. Contracts which permit the government to transfer its stake in oil projects up to 25% to private companies of its choice, Fuel is smuggled across the border to the tune of hundreds of tankers a day. And that's not just some news article. I had a very long conversation with a man last week that just came back from Kurdistan in the oil business. And he had photographs. He saw the hundreds of tankers a day going across the border from Kurdistan or Iraq, northern Iraq, into Turkey, selling this oil. It's used for oppression. There's more. I mean, the Kurds are selling the oil. The government in Iraq and Baghdad is saying you don't have the right to do that. Really, it's creating another civil war. So the wars are not finished if you just look at the oil. They're just beginning. It's going to flare up. It's going to blow up. And I don't mean that in any pun in any way. It's coming. Remember, I'm not going to read the article, but I do have the article. Remember the name Tony Hayward? He was the CEO of BP during the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico? Well, they just destroyed him publicly. Well, he's the CEO. Well, I don't want to say CEO. He's the head of another oil company, a much smaller one. And I don't know that I'm going to pronounce it correctly. It's Genel, G-E-N-E-L. And it's in Kurdistan. And the particular fields that he's got something like a billion barrels of oil in reserve. And they're doing everything that they can, along with the European bankers, the Rothschilds, and they were named in the article, to get control of that oil. And they don't care about the people. When this man that I spoke to last week, when we talked, I asked him, well, how are the people doing there? The regular everyday, you know, like the world calls them, Joe Sixpack. You know, how's the regular guy doing? And he said, they don't have anything. Anything that they did have has been taken from them. It's been burned, blown up. They're afraid to go around it because of booby traps and whatever else may be. They have electricity anywhere from 3 to 5 hours a day on a great day. It's oppression. He said you would be surprised at how many children die because they're used to having electricity. They don't know how to take care of the medicines, keep them at their proper temperatures, or the medical doctors don't have any supplies. You know, just all of the things that have taken place because the wars were there. And throughout the different articles that I have, and I think it was Ambassador Bolton made mention, these wars were for oil. They were. And we can't forget that oil is what makes the world go round, what makes the world run. But we have a different oil. We have a different oil that feeds us. It's a pure oil, a golden oil. If you hold it up, you can see through it. Praise Yahweh. It's not the dark stuff that the world chases after and follows after and arbitrarily sets the prices for it. They generate the disruption of the supply of oil so that they can raise the prices. It's not by accident. It's done on purpose. It's part of that plan. And it doesn't matter if you're in the United States, Iraq, Canada, Afghanistan, Russia, Israel, Venezuela, Cuba, China, anywhere. It doesn't matter. All the governments use oil the same way. It's to control the people. Stop and think about how much oil is used in. You've heard of petroleum jelly? You know, the stuff you put on maybe an abrasion, a cut? Petroleum, it's another name we didn't use for oil a little bit earlier. Asphalt, tar. You couldn't have processed foods, I don't think. Let me rephrase that. I can't think of ways you could have processed food without petroleum-based products. You know, that waxy film that you see on frozen TV dinners or on milk cartons, you know, that's just paper. But they use tallows from the lumber industry from trees. They use that oil to make that chemical up to be able to seal the moisture in and from getting out, or it can be used from regular petroleum oil. Farmers, you got to have the oil in order to make the tractors and the harvesters to be able to plant the crops. Fertilizer is man-made. Phosphate rocks, along with a number of chemicals. Pretty bad chemicals, by the way. But they're all derived. The feedstock is natural gas. It's why the price of fertilizer goes up when natural gas prices go up. Normally, when oil prices go up, natural gas prices come down, and vice versa. It's all the economy. It's all based on money. I know I'm in that business. I have been for more years than I want to admit. And every time the price of oil goes down, we go chase after petrochemical plant work because the feedstock is cheaper there and they're going to be expanding. When the natural gas goes up, which is their feedstock, when that price goes up, then oil prices are almost always down. Just the last couple of years, it hasn't worked that way. But it did for the 38 years that I've been doing this prior. You can watch how it's played. It's a game. It's a game to these people. But it affects every one of our lives. It would not be impossible for us to come to the feast without oil, but it sure would make it tough. You know, a flat tire, a broken radiator hose, that's not a problem compared to what it would be like to come from, I don't know, Maine, Georgia, anywhere, without having the fuel to run your automobile. They can control how we travel, how we transport things through oil. All they have to do is cut the supply out, and we're stuck. But praise Yahweh, we're learning back to basics. You're going to know what to do when that day comes. We already know how to live without an air conditioner. We already know how to live a day without television. Cell phones might be a little hard to not have, but I can remember when we didn't have them. So I'm sure most of you can too. We'll get by. That gives somebody else a job, doesn't it? Hey, can you go tell so-and-so this for us? It just gives somebody else another job. Helps bring unemployment down. There's a lot to be joyful for. But remember, this system, Ziploc baggies, and I don't mean to be picking on one brand, but, you know, clear plastic baggies. That's oil. It's petroleum. CDs. DVDs. Your camera. Your watch. Most of our glasses. You stop and think about what it is. The monitors. The keyboards. The fans, the wrapper that goes around meat. You think about where oil is in society today, in our lives. It's in the clothing. It's required to make clothing. Why wouldn't oil, why wouldn't the world have their own plan on how to use their oil to fight the true oil, the golden oil? Their oil brings death. It brings destruction. They'll kill people for oil. They'll bomb nations for oil. Where the oil that we're fed with, we learn how to love one another. How to care. How to serve one another. How not to be selfish. How not to have wars, not in our own families, and we are a family, but not in our own individual families or amongst ourselves. What does it hurt if someone says something in a way that you don't appreciate? Why would you hold a grudge? Why would there be any negative character traits in us for that? You know, I was telling the brothers this morning in one of the classes, if I step on your toe, Why would that get you upset? You never use the top of your foot. Why? But the world, with their deception, teach us if someone steps on your toe, your first reaction should be to punch them. And we treat everyone that way. Remember, there's a difference between the oils. Our oil, the golden oil that comes forth from the last witness, from the two olive trees that are on the side of the seven lamp lampstand, that oil is used, it will be used, we're training now to be ready, to be prepared to take care of the 2 billion that's going to be left over when their system fails, killing 4/5 of all man on the face of the earth, innumerable animals and plants and trees and the destruction of the waters, fresh and salt. Can you see the difference between how the oils are used? Money's not that important. Yes, the house of Yahweh needs our tithes so that we can do the work. But you know, there's ways to do that work without money. And Pastor even mentioned, he's looking forward to the day. He said that recently. He's looking forward to the day when we won't need to be asking the world for money. Money corrupts. Money corrupts. Don't allow yourselves to get placed in a position where you have to decide, am I going to keep the Sabbath or am I going to go to work? Because they told me, if I don't go to work, I'm not going to have a job. Why would that be a big decision? Why would it be a hard decision to make? Without Yahweh's plan, without this golden oil, everything destroys life. And it destroys it rapidly. I don't know for a fact how old the sun is, but it's pretty old. You know, or the stars out there that are beyond this solar system, they're pretty old. Man's been here 6,000 years. And look at what we've done. Look at what we've done. I mean, think about how many things are extinct now. And it comes from that wrong oil, from those rebellious, from that Nimrod system, from the Catholic system, the universal system. Everything that we've been taught since we were little and before is all wrong. It's all lies. Santa Claus comes down the chimney. Well, when I grew up, we didn't have a chimney. So how did he get in my house? But we believed it. And that's the struggle that's in us. When the priest, when the judge, the Kohanas, when we're told by an authority, when we're told this is how to keep the law, and something inside of us just bristles up. And remember which oil you're hanging on to. Remember, that battle right then and there is coming from that black gold, that black oil that the Catholic Church taught our parents or grandparents or whoever it was that taught us that, no, this is the way. This is what mercy is. This is what compassion is. Feeding somebody a turkey in the 11th month of the year isn't mercy and it isn't compassion. Each one of us keeping Yahweh's laws, filling our bodies, filling our minds and our hearts with that golden oil, that's love, that's mercy, that's compassion. And there is no other mercy and compassion beside that. Think about the shovel-ready projects that the U.S. government, that President Barack Obama was talking about when the economy was in difficulties. And that money still being spent on roads. What are those roads made out of? The majority of them, I even noticed in Texas, if I remember correctly, federal law states that all interstate highways have to be cement, concrete. And Texas was one of the holdouts. They always repaired the highways with concrete. But not anymore. They're using asphalt, blacktop, oil. not concrete. So it's reducing the life expectancy of that highway, but it's also building up and artificially increasing the price, the demand for oil. We don't always think about it that way. Those shovel-ready projects were not to put people to work. It was to raise the price of oil. The system works that way. It always has, and their system will only work so long that way because they will destroy themselves. But we have that golden oil, that pure oil. It's refined 7 times, and it's used to make a priesthood that's going to be able to guard the food supply, to protect what's important, to decide, to help us determine what is important and what's not important. We need to keep in mind where the golden oil comes from. It's only in one place. It's not like their black gold, their Texas tea. It's all over. It's everywhere. Just punch a hole. The deeper you punch, the better it is. They don't care. There's oil not far from where we live. There's an oil company that's done something no other oil company's ever done. They were in 11 feet of water and they drilled, I think it's 37,800 feet to get to some natural gas. Nobody's ever drilled that deep. They don't really know what's going to take place. That well has been drilled since the second month this year. They can't produce. The company's going bankrupt because they, not to get real technical, but the well's burping. It keeps fluctuating, the pressures. If it was designed for 24,000 PSI, pounds per square inch, and it's burping up to 34,000 pounds per square inch. They don't know how to control it. If they start flowing it, it's going to just go, and there's no stopping it. So don't let them make you think that they're smart, they're wise, they're smarter than what we're learning here at the House of Yahweh. I don't think any of us is so stupid that we drill a hole in 9 or 10 days, 11 days to 30,000 feet and expect to know what's coming up from there. Because we took some pictures with seismic computers that's supposed to tell us what's going on. But we don't need seismic equipment. We don't need computers. We don't need these things that they need to be a member of the House of Yahweh, to qualify to be a priest or a priestess in the House of Yahweh. It's so simple. It's so simple if we just keep these 613 laws. It's so simple how to be holy. It's hard. It's complicated to be unholy if you really think about it. You got to go against nature. You got to go against the natural way things were created. So praise Yahweh. If you'll all please stand. It's my honor and privilege to introduce to you the great Kohan Zephaniah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We have some more of the Mason video, this documentary that talks about the Masons. And there's a couple of things I just want to point out to you as you're watching this to look for. One of them is their mention of the Rockefeller Foundation and how that was set up by the Masons. And remember what Pastor said about them owning the Vatican. And then they talk about the Knights Templar and their connection to the Masons. And she makes a funny reference. She calls them the spiritual special forces for Christ. And it shows them with their swords, and that's exactly correct. And then they have they mention how they're connected to Yale's Skull and Bones Club. And what's interesting about that is there's only about 800 living members of that. They don't really know how many, but both Bushes and Kerry are members of that. And think about the implications of the 2004 election with George Bush versus Senator Kerry. They had both presidential candidates in the general election. Imagine if we had two of our members and they were the final candidates in the presidential election. You know, that would kind of put a smile on our face. But that's how powerful these people really are. And then they say that they're in league. They may be in league with Satan himself. But if we could tell them it's really herself. But it's really, it's the nexus between the religion of iniquity and the business of oppression. That's really what you're looking at. So let's play the video. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Wonderful. Be seated. Even the Malachim in heaven could hear that one. Wonderful praise to Yahweh. I hope you can remember where we left off. Now, what you're seeing in these films, of course, is the Nimrod system that started with Cain, but then again was revived by Cush, and because he was the father of the Nimrod system, meaning he rebelled. Let's turn over to Micah, because Yahweh said nothing would be held from them. This is the puzzling thing for most people to understand. This system if you notice the four horns of the altar that was in those films that the masons have, it represents the altar of death, of course, not the altar of incense that we represent, but the altar of death, whose horns will be cut off in our time period now. All of these things tie together from Genesis to Revelations. And if you'll get our tapes, you can understand these. Now, I'm working as fast as I can to get up to explaining everything in Yahweh's plan. And we're getting pretty close to the end of it. But here in Micah now, he starts off here saying in Micah 4 and verse 1, he says, "But in the last days I will establish my house." Now, of course, we see the ruling power that is going on among the Catholics, the Masons, what used to be called scribes and Pharisees, Essenes, and Herodians. All of this was put together and, of course, taken to Rome and the temple destroyed, as Daniel said it would be. And, of course, Daniel gives us a time period there and says, you know, gives us a time period when actually Yahweh would start his work in Daniel 12. But here we see that Yahweh in the last days, He's letting this beastly system rule, and he said nothing would be withheld from them. Yahshua says, "I have nothing in common with this kingdom, but I will guide my own work," he said. And that's the work of Yahweh was what he prayed for. Well, that when he was speaking of this, of course, he was talking about the prophecy in the last days over which he would be high priest and king, which is shown to us in many scriptures starting in Genesis. And of course the Savior says to you, and don't forget that scripture, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken. You can do your own thinking and make up your own make your own decisions outside the Holy Scriptures. But salvation is only offered in Yahweh's house. Now, that's the reason that Yahweh tells you to seek seek his habitation, which is the house of Yahweh. And Yeshua said, seek the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. Now, if you don't seek the kingdom of Yahweh and you don't seek his righteousness, you will not receive salvation. And it's offered now. It's being offered now, as Zechariah said. Here in Micah, he shows the establishment of the house, the same as Zechariah does, and he shows that this law of Yahweh is going to go out to all nations in this time period when he establishes his house. When he establishes his house, then his laws will go forth to those nations. If you go over to Matthew 21, we see the Savior speaking of this time period here, and he's speaking to a group of people who are in control. They were in control of the temple. He said, violent men have taken over the kingdom of Yahweh. Well, the kingdom of Yahweh was supposedly set up at that temple, the temple of Solomon. Of course, by the time that Herod rebuilt the last temple that he destroyed, he rebuilt it, and then his religion destroyed it, and then moved to Rome. But by that time, they had everything fully in their power, and they were watching everything that was taught. They had ears out to hear it, and of course, they would send their police force, which was the Roman army that Daniel said the army would stand on their part. Well, Herod's the one that created this army to begin with. A strong army that he could rule everything on earth at that time. In fact, it did take over the whole earth. That's what their historians proclaim loudly. Well, we're rulers of the whole world now. Well, that rulers, of course, is a dirty word with Yahshua. It has it's totally different from the kingdom of Yahweh, which teaches and guides. That's Yahweh's kingdom done with love. They change the heart and mind through loving kindness, acts of mercy, acts of teaching, and of course, everyone submitting to everyone. And everyone looking out for other people for their righteousness' sake and for their benefit. Well, while Yahshua was on earth, several elders have already brought out how he was hated and his disciples hated. And then the work that went on after the disciples, that was hated. In fact, most of this is showing how extreme this hatred was. It's almost like it's unbelievable, you know, and most people won't believe it. They see the Catholic Church, they see what all it's done in history, how it kept back the Holy Scriptures and killed billions of people to keep the Bible from getting into their hands. But Yahweh changed that. It was Yahweh that changed it, and it was a wonderful thing, and he tells when he would do it, actually. He told when he will do this and put the scriptures back into the hands of the people. Well, here in Matthew 21, in verse 23, he says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you. Well, this means they had the kingdom of Yahweh. That is, they were controlling it at that time. There was a portion of the kingdom of Yahweh taught daily. This was the daily readings or daily teaching and that Yahshua talked about when he said, when they sit in Moshe's seat, that is, when they judge in Moshe's seat and teach in his seat, guiding the people, then do what they tell you to do, but don't follow their actions. Well, they actually taught Moshe's laws. After they taught Moshe's laws, they didn't abide by Moshe's laws, but they abided by what they called traditions. traditions that weakened the law, that changed the law, that added to the law. So, and Yeshua said, you make void the law by your traditions. But notice they're holding in their power the kingdom of Yahweh. And it will be taken from you and given to a people of the same habit, but from a foreign land. A foreign land. Well, of course, that could be any land, of course, unless you follow the prophecy. And the prophecies tell you which direction to go. And then you know that if you go there in this time period, you'll run into a place called Abilene. But it's given to a people in a foreign land. Well, now, if you remember the first scripture we read, he said, in the last days I will establish my house. Now, that means his house must be established in a foreign land. And this is what the prophet is telling you here. I'm going to establish my house. And then the prophet Amosha 3, hold your place here, we're coming back to it, I forgot to tell you that, Matithya 21, but Amosha 3, now remember we're in the last days, the house is established in a foreign land, not Israel, but a foreign land. Amosha 3:696. He said in verse 6, will a trumpet be blown in a city and the people not be afraid? Will iniquity be taking place in a city and Yahweh not also have a work there? Well, of course, it's got Baptist churches and Methodist churches and of course, Catholic churches and Mason lodges and the Lions Club, they had them in Israel too. They actually throwed them to the lions. And then Circe, if you remember, she would kill her victims, which was the followers of the house of Yahweh. Circe, that's where you get the word church. And then she would turn her victims into swine. The way she did that, she took their dead bodies to her pig pen and fed her pigs, and then they ate the pigs. Well, that's what history shows. And that's where your word church comes from. Well, they had these everywhere. Well, will not Yahweh have one there too? No, Yahweh has set certain works to bring about his plan. He's letting man go his own way, but he set certain works, seven of them in fact, to bring about his own plan. He will have no other. No other. And that's exactly what it says there. Verse 7, most assuredly, Father Yahweh will have no work other than the work that he has prophesied in advance by his servants, the prophets. Now, when Yeshua, back to chapter 21, when Yeshua said, you're a fool if you don't believe all that the prophets have spoken, he was talking about Yahweh's prophets. If you remember, the Lord's had many prophets. And of course, those lords were rulers. They were violent rulers of the kingdom that had possession of the Temple Mount. They never could take possession of Galilee. Yahweh didn't allow it. In fact, they didn't even want it. They said those people were unlearned and ignorant because they wouldn't accept change in the Hebrew language. And of course, they discarded them because they were living 100 or 200 years behind time. No bathroom facilities, no electric lights. No. Well, all of them was that way at one time. But they were living way behind time. Well, here now in 21, Matithya 21 and verse 43, he said he's going to take the kingdom from you, which means they were in control of Yahweh's kingdom. And Yeshua said, you've shut the doors to the kingdom of heaven. You won't go in yourself, and you won't allow anyone else to go in. Now, that's exactly what we're seeing on these films. They don't allow people to go into the kingdom of Yahweh. They've done this strictly for years. That's the reason the book of Yahweh was taken away from the people. A death penalty was passed to keep anyone from owning a manuscript or anything that had to do with the prophet's writings. If you were caught not eating pork, they knew that you were a victim for their lion's den. They would tell the people, history says, if you'll eat pork, you know, we'll let this sentence pass from you if you will just eat pork. Well, of course, they wouldn't do it. Some, I guess, did, but most of them, a lot of them didn't. They'd rather die than to yield to that beastly system. This is how strong they were at that time. Now, the real shocker is that most people can't get it out of their mind was, even after dying, they still didn't have salvation. Now, that's true. Yahweh only offered salvation in the seven works of Yahweh. And in Zechariah, he plainly says there was no salvation because there was no one to teach it. If you think about what salvation is, you have to be tried for the kingdom of Yahweh. And without proving yourself to Yahweh, which that's what you're doing now, without proving yourself to Yahweh, there's no way you'll make it. Yeshua said, if you'd enter into life, keep the commandments. Think about what that involves. One of the commandments says, go to his house. Now, if he doesn't have a house to go to, that stops you from going to his house. It also stops you from salvation. These people will have salvation. Yeah. You will make sure that they get the proper teaching after you resurrect these people, and you're going to have that power because you're going to be given power over the microorganisms. That's why it's very important that you get these back sermons and the prophetic word and newsletters to find out what we're talking about when we're talking about microorganisms, the firmament, why the drought is spreading, why famine is spreading throughout the world, why the hatred, why you see so much violence in the land now, people killing and hating one another. They don't just hate us either. They hate us above all, but they hate each other also. The man hates his wife enough to kill her. The wife hates her husband and makes the statement, if I had a gun, I'd kill you right now. These things are coming from Christian families all over the world. We read of marriages. They advertise it. These are two of the gods from Hollywood. And they advertise their marriage. Oh, this is a big deal. This is a wonderful love affair. Look at them. They're looking at each other with lust in their eyes. Some of them only last one night. I read many times they'll have a one-night marriage, and the next day they go to the lawyer, which they already signed an agreement to divorce. Before they said the vows, I will till death do me part. Well, that was death. That one night was death. So they go to the lawyer and say, I want my divorce. Well, that's the mixed up world that we see here. And why is it mixed up? Because of man's sins, the STDs getting into the microorganisms that control control the universe. I mean, to control the earth, man's life. If it wasn't for the microorganisms called the firmament, you would die in a split second. If the sun didn't burn you up, you'd freeze to death on the other side. The microorganisms is what makes your life enjoyable. And of course, it's sick right now. And you can understand all of this. Yes, it is complicated. But science now is now catching on to what we brought out at least 30 years ago and has started bringing out from the scriptures. Well, they're catching on to it now, and they're running tests, scientific tests, that's actually proving what Yahweh said. Praise Yahweh. Now, back to Matthew 21:43, the kingdom of Yahweh will be taken from you and given to a people of the same habit, but from a foreign land. So it's going to be established in a foreign land. And now in verse 44, and whosoever falls on this stone, well, you go to above it here and you find out he's talking about a stone referring to, of course, to Yahshua. This stone is presented to the work of Yahweh and the high priest. He's a high priest. And that's shown in Hebrews 10:21, the high priest. And the high priest then gives the stone, gives the house of Yahweh in these last days a stone. He actually, Yahweh gives the house of Yahweh a stone through Yahshua. Yahshua is the one that gives it. But he gives the house of Yahweh this stone. He presents it to the one sent, giving it to his house. I'll show you all of this in detail, hopefully before the feast is over. But whosoever falls on this stone that is given, will be broken. Now you can bet your boots that's going to take place. If you hold your place there and go over to Jeremiah 23, I want to read this several times to you before the feast is out, but he shows what a rotten mess the Masons are, how evil and wicked the Catholic Church has always been, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, and Herodians. He shows this. He shows it in prophecy that this is what they're going to be, and they're going to be hating the work of Yahweh. Every last one of them will hate the work of Yahweh. Enough to murder for it, as the man said. Enough to kill. Yes, that hatred is that strong. They claim from this sodomizing children that they can also hypnotize that child and later on in life say a certain word and he'll go and perform something that they told him to do 30 years before that. So records are kept on the people that this is being done against. Now this is the wickedness that's going on in this rotten mess called the beast, the beastly system. And of course, Yahweh showed this. And this is the reason that Yochanan said, don't think it any marvelous thing that the world hates you. Remember, this is what was told to you to begin with. The Savior told you, they're going to hate you. They're going to kick you out of their synagogues. They're going to beat you. They'll kill you. They'll do all kinds of things to you. They hate you that much. Well, here in Jeremiah, he talks about now in this same chapter 23 and the how wicked these priests are, the priests of even in the house of Yahweh, and that's what he is talking about. They'd taken over the house of Yahweh at that time. And he says in verse 5, he said, "Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise up to David a righteous branch." Well, we saw that word branch there a while ago. Going to raise it up to David. Other places show it's going to have a king ruling over the branch, beholding the branch, guiding the branch, leading the branch, giving the branch a white stone, giving the branch signs in heaven that can't be denied in the clouds, written in the clouds. All of those things were prophesied. And a king will reign and succeed and will execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his day, Yada will be saved. A lot of the people that Yahshua, when he started the work with that woman, well, that woman is still alive in many countries, but that woman, of course, there's no salvation for that woman and all of those workers, except after it's given to you to give them salvation, and that's the only time. But notice this, therefore, verse 7, therefore the days come, says Yahweh, that they will no longer say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up, remember that word brought up, we're going to try to cover it thoroughly, and led the seed of the house of Israel out of the protected place and from all countries where I had driven them, and they will dwell in their own land. Now, this is what's taking place right now. The bringing up, the brought up, the same words he used in Moshe. He brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt. Think of the work that took place at that time. Now, go back now to 21, Matithiah 21, and verse 44. Whoever falls on the stone will be broken, and be broken. And on whomsoever it falls, it will grind him to powder. He will go back to the dust. You better think twice before you come against the house of Yahweh. I know there's many fools that go where, as the scripture says, where Malachim fear to tread. But think about it. You're offered salvation here. You can't buy salvation with money. So all the money that they give you to be a false witness against the house of Yahweh, it's going to take your opportunity of salvation away from you, even though Yahweh brought you to his house. A word against the work. Remember that. Yahshua said it. Your judge. He's your judge right now. And he said, a word against the work is not going to be forgiven. Not in this time, nor the times to come. Verse 45. Now, when the chief priests, they were the ones, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. Some of them called scribes. They had the army in their hand. This was their police force that they used to arrest the apostles. And everyone around said, well, if the police arrested them, they must have done something wrong. They forget about the fact that they could falsely accuse these people, and the chief priest, they were that evil and wicked, the masons. Yes, they were the lawyers that were saying, yeah, we can do this legally here, and we can pass this, just get us some witnesses here, and we can file charges against this man or this corporation. We'll put them out of business for you. And it's still going on today. This is the same setup, exact same setup. In fact, the badge that they use on the police departments that's fastened on the chest of every policeman is a replica of the Roman shield. Does that tell you anything? Well, these people would bring false witnesses, they did against Yahshua and his disciples. They were called scribes, or they were part of the military, leading the military, as the book of Unger says, Unger's dictionary says. And of course, they would work out, they knew the law, so they knew what they could do and get away with and what they couldn't get away with, just like they do in the United States. They'll bring false charges against a person, bring them to prison, put them in prison, let them die. They'll have them kill somebody like a president that they don't like. put that man in prison, start feeding him cancer cells, injected them into his bloodstream, and him hollering out the cell doors, "They're killing me. Please help me. They're killing me." Well, all of this is done, but it's hidden because all of them are being controlled by the scribes or masons, the judges, the lawyers, everyone. This is how evil that this system is, as you're seeing from the films, the other films. Also, believe it when the prophet said, "There is no justice in the world today." Praise Yahweh. "But in the last days, I will establish my house," Yahweh said, "and it will bring my laws, and it will bring true justice to all nations." It's a big job. And whoever falls on this stone is going to be broken. You won't have a chance later for salvation. If you're a spy, if I were in your shoes, I would repent and beg Yahweh to forgive me. Now, when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spoke of them. Yes, he did. But when they sought to lay hands on him, notice, violent men seeking to lay hands on him, of course, they were wanting to kill him, wanting to get rid of him. We're in Matithya. Let's go over to Yochanan. Yochanan, the fourth chapter. Now, these are things that I want you to remember throughout this feast as we continue our lessons here, because you can't understand the scriptures unless you understand what we're fighting against here. And there's this beastly system. Yes, they look strong, but they can only do what Yahweh allows. Yahweh may allow tests for you, brethren, but if you're true, he's going to bring you through this thing. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. Praise Yahweh. Now, in Yochanan 4, look at verse 19. "The woman said to him, 'I see or perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.'" Well, of course, this was where Solomon built the temple. It was the place where David, the servant of Yahweh, chose. And even though Yahweh says, "I don't dwell in places made with hands," you stiff-necked and rebellious people went ahead and built the temple anyway. And in spite of your wickedness, you went ahead and built it anyway. "But if you, Solomon, if you will keep your appointments with me," this is Yochanan 4, verse 19 is where we started. "You, Solomon, if you will keep your appointments with me, my eyes and heart will be there with you at that place. If you will keep my laws, my statutes, my judgments, if you will do this." And it did for a while. But then it was taken over by the very masons that built it. They had a lot of power. They had a lot of high places throughout the country. And before you know it, the gods were being worshipped, even in the house that Solomon built for Yahweh. He didn't guard and keep it, brethren. Yahweh commands us by Adam, even in the days of Adam. He said, he put them there, and he said, "Guard and keep this perfect. Don't let sin come in."
Praise Yahweh!
Well, a little sin won't hurt, will it? The bed that was defiled, and Yahweh showed you that. The bed that it was defiled, it brought damaged microorganisms even down to today. And that is shown in your scriptures, brother. The one bed that was defiled, Think about the billions of them that are being defiled today. Is it any wonder that the firmament is getting sick from this? They attack, they rape, the same things that the men are doing, and women, and the military. They have it every once in a while, what's going on in the military. How evil this military is, even to small children, orphanages. You see this everywhere. Even in America, when they started settling America, the Catholics, they quickly put up orphanages, which was paid for by our own taxes. Yes, it's an evil mess where they raped and victimized the children, screwed up their minds where they can't even learn anymore. So they'll remain Catholic from now on and work for this beastly system. If you can just realize how evil this system is, it's as evil as Satan herself. Read about Satan. Read about Satan herself and you will see how evil this system is. She won't let her oppressed go free. No, they have ways. They have ways to hold these people. Once they're victimized, they can get over it, yes. But not many people work to get over it because they don't have that much brain power left. Well, Yahshua said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." Now, that's a fact. The time has come when this won't be taking place. You do not know what you worship. We know what we worship because salvation is of the Yadim. That Yadim actually means those who perform or reverence Yahweh. The Yadim that controlled the temple, they didn't reverence Yahweh. They didn't keep his laws at all. But the hour comes, verse 23, the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. If you think about what he's saying here, now this is something you've got to understand. This is a woman, and from that woman come forth a woman. And from that woman came forth a man. And from that woman came forth a woman that nourished the man, called the branch, who actually started, she nourished this woman that came forth from the woman, These are ones that fled. This woman fled, yes. They didn't have a house of Yahweh, but they will have a house of Yahweh when we resurrect this woman. These people worshiped Yahweh. That is, they served Yahweh. They didn't have a house to serve him in, so they couldn't be tried. But from them came forth righteous genes, coming down to the last days, where Yahweh says, "In the last days I'll bring you forth a righteous branch." A righteous branch. That's what he says. That's what Yahweh says. A righteous branch. Righteousness means somebody who keeps the laws. The branch is also prophesied to teach the laws to all nations. That's the white stone that's been given to the house of Yahweh. You are the body of Messiah, and that white stone is given to you in the last days to teach, guide, correct, lead you to salvation. Because salvation now is being offered. Why? Because you're going to receive all of this power that was promised in Genesis 1:26. Given to man authority to resurrect the dead. That's part of your job. And you're training for that right now. And you will receive these gifts. That's a promise from Yahweh to you in these last days. To his house. Well, these people, this woman, she roamed and she fled and she went. Somehow or another, they left Europe and went to the United States. It wasn't a state that time. It was just a foreign land. And Zechariah said did not yet exist. But when it did exist, it would be a Babylonian land. It would become a Babylonian land. But at the time, it wasn't at that time existing. So they came here and they lived. And from that woman came forth a woman, as Revelation says, a woman that actually had a man child and taught that child and trained him for this dark days ahead to bring the message of Revelations 11. Revelations 12 talks of the woman. Revelations 11 talks of the two that she actually bore. In spirit and in truth, they are serving the Father Yahweh. That is, from the laws and prophecies of Yahweh, they understood these things and they worked to bring their lives as much as they knew to service to Yahweh. Yes, Yahweh is spirit. That is, he lives by his laws, by the laws of Yahweh, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah comes, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. Yahshua said to her, I am he speaking to you. Well, of course, she believed it. Praise Yahweh. That we're in Yochanan. Let's go back to Zechariah here. And remember what was said here now. The kingdom taken from you and given to a foreign land, those in a foreign land, which turns out to be the United States. Now here in Zechariah 4, we see, remember, Amoshah said, Yahweh will have no work other than that prophesied by the prophet. Now, this work that is prophesied is the seventh lamp on the lampstand, the seventh and last work of Yahweh. And when the seventh work, as the great Kohan Shaul brought to begin with, the seventh and the last work is in operation right now. And will bring now salvation to many people. Salvation meaning those who make it into the kingdom. Yes. And receive these powers that was promised in Genesis 1:26. Well, in verse 19 now, verse 1. Of Zechariah. And the Moloch who talked with me came again and wakened me as a man is wakened from a sleep and said to me, what do you see? So I said, I see and behold a lampstand of gold, and there's seven lamps on this lampstand. And verse 3 says, and there were two olive trees. Remember Revelations 11. Almost everyone knows that Revelations 11, because it speaks of the two witnesses. That's mostly all they know, but even the Christians know that much. Revelations 11, these are the two olive trees, as it were the two olive trees. Well, this is what it's speaking of right here. And there were two olive trees, and Revelation shows a work that these two olive trees would do. More is shown on these in Isaiah than any other place in the Holy Scriptures. But almost every prophet speaks of this last day's work, including Genesis. And you're a fool if you don't believe it. So I spoke to the Moloch who talked with me, and I asked him, what are these, my ruler? Should have been teacher. Should have been translated teacher. But they translated it ruler for some reason. I think they just put that in. It can't be translated that really. Now look on down to verse 10. For who has despised the day of small things? They will rejoice. Remember, you got to go to the feast and rejoice. By the way, I've seen more rejoicing at this feast than ever before. Very much so. They will rejoice and will see the plummet, that is righteousness, in the hand of Zerubbabel, that is the one who opposes. That word Zerubbabel means he who opposes Babylon. That's what we're doing right now, as you can see from every sermon, opposing Babylon and bringing forth the peaceful solution, character education. That is our goal set by Yahweh. And the complete knowledge, notice, they bring forth the complete knowledge and understanding of Yahweh will go throughout the whole earth. That's what's taking place right now from the house of Yahweh right here at Abel, at Abilene. And then I answered and said unto him, what are these two olive trees? Two olive trees that Revelation 11 shows. What are these? What are these two witnesses of Revelation 11? This says, these are the two olive trees. This is what he's speaking of right here. Zechariah 4. What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the lampstand and upon the left side of it? Well, here's, you know, where these positions that these two olive trees take on the lampstand. This is the lampstand, one on the west and one on the east. Then I spoke to him again and said to him, what are these two olive trees? He keeps asking them that. Olive branches, which, and here notice they're called a branch, olive branches. Remember that Yahweh said, I will bring forth from the roots of Yahshua a branch. The roots of Yahshua. Yahshua laid the roots in Jerusalem, and from those roots, the apostles who did their work, and we're looking at it here. It's not a New Testament, but it's book two of the book of Yahweh. It's not a new covenant. It's a covenant that Yahweh, the same covenant that Yahweh gave to begin with. And they mistranslated that in chapter 10 of Hebrews. But I will put my laws in their hearts and in my minds will I write them. This is the peaceful solution that brings peace in families between man and woman, between man and man, woman and woman, and so forth, children even. Then I spoke to him again and said to him, what are these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes emptied the golden oil? This was just made loud and clear by the great priest just a few minutes ago. He answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my ruler, no, my teacher. And then he said, these are the two anointed ones. So the two witnesses are the anointed ones, which means the ones sent, the ones sent by Yahweh, anointed by the priests of Yahweh, the prophets of Yahweh, through the Holy Scriptures, who spoke as they were moved, giving them authority to do what they are doing. That is the two witnesses. It gives them their authority. Now remember that, because this was what was questioned about Yahshua. Where did you get your authority? Well, then he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand for the supreme ruler, the supreme teacher of the whole earth. We're in chapter 4. Look on down to chapter 5 and look at verse 5. He says, And the Moloch who was speaking with me came forward and said to me, lift up your eyes now and understand that which is sent, that which is sent by Yahweh's commandment. This is what Yahshua said. I'm the one sent, he said. I'm the one sent by Yahweh. And he said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and those are they that testify of me, he said. And I asked, what is it? And he answered, this is the ephah, the standard of perfection, is sent by Yahweh, that is Yahweh's laws. Then he added, this is the honor, knowledge, and understanding throughout the whole earth. It's being taught again throughout the whole earth. It's also being taught here in his house. so that those who come here can be tried, they can learn the laws of peace, and then be tried to see whether they will keep them or not. And that's what you're proving to Yahweh right now. Will I keep my appointments? Will this man keep his appointments after he's baptized? What is his appointments? Go to the house, search, seek the habitation of Yahweh. That was what was written in Deuteronomy 12. Go there and rejoice. We're commanded here to go there and rejoice for 8 days. Yeshua said in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of Yahweh. The kingdom of Yahweh is what you're in right now, as you sit here. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh!
Now, look on down to verse 9. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women. Well, of course, this is what you see in Revelations. But it was started in Yochanan 4 when Yahshua said to the woman, told her, and then she went out gossiping and saying, this man told me these things. I've found the Savior that was prophesied. These are the people that went to carrying out the word then, service to Yahweh, not as a unit, but they were unified to take this out. Take it out, spread it throughout, keep spreading it throughout generation to generation. And of course, the beastly system, as you've seen in the films, how day after day they went hunting these people who were broadcasting this. And many of them gave their lives because they wouldn't give in to the beastly system, which means, as the woman showed, she knew the prophecies and the laws of Yahweh. She knew these. So these things went with them. And in Oklahoma, where I was brought up, I heard the name Yahweh. I didn't know what it said. I just heard the Indians singing, hey, Yah-Yah, ho, Yah-Yah. And I said, what does this Yah mean? Well, they didn't know. We know. Okay, now in verse 9, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, two women, the last two eras of the house of Yahweh, sent with commandment, the Spirit of Yahweh, remember, worship in spirit and in truth, taking truth as they knew it to the world, to all the people. The Spirit of Yahweh came to overshadow them, and they exalted, magnified, and exalted the ephah, the standard of perfection sent by Yahweh, separating the way of the world by the way of Yahweh. And these same two witnesses, as you see in verse 10, then I said to the Moloch who was speaking with me, where are they, the two witnesses? Well, you're looking at them, he said. Where are they going with this? And he said to me, to build the house of Yahweh. So we know that these two olive trees spoken of in Revelations 11, the two olive trees are sent by Yahweh to build, not in this land, as Yahshua said. It's going to be taken away from this land. It's going to be established in another land, not yet established. Notice, to build the house of Yahweh according to the standard of perfection sent by Yahweh's laws in a Babylonian land which does not yet exist. And it will be established. The word established means supported and recognized by the government of that land. And that's exactly what I saw, and I said, we've got to establish the house of Yahweh. No, don't do that. I said, I've got to do that. This is what it says. Yes. Well, here it's prophesied, not in Jerusalem, not in Israel. Now, how in the world, thousands of years before this prophet spoke, how would he know that there would be another land established and there would be a house of Yahweh built there? You think of that. You talk about a miracle. Now, that is a real miracle. But it had to be. It had to be. Established place, the habitation of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh. Well, Yahweh is keeping his appointment with us today. He's here with us right now. Make up your mind to keep his appointments at his house, because very soon now you're going to be escaping to that, because it's also called the place of safety. And from this work, this little work that he has started here, he's going to be taking this to all the world, bringing 2 billion people out of this world to join you to work in this work. And then from your powers that you're going to receive, that has to do with the microorganisms, you've got to know and understand about these microorganisms. I was supposed to cover all this morning, but I didn't get to it. From the control that he will give you, he'll give you authority to tell the microorganisms what to do. And then, as Yekishka said, if you'll read that chapter about the bones coming together, well, the bones had to be formed again before they could come together, because those bones have long, long time deteriorated, turned back to dust. But they have got to be come back together. There was one bone that never deteriorates, and it's right back here in the back of your head, and it has a complete pattern of your life. So Yahweh knows your life. So from that bone, we can take that bone and put every hair back in place. Yeshua said, not one hair will be missing. When we put you back in place, when we put these people back in place, not one hair of their head will be missing. Now that's going to be a miracle. And you're going to have that power if you endure, if you overcome and endure. To him who overcomes will I give this power, Yeshua said. To him who overcomes. And I notice you're doing it, brother, and you're the best people on the face of the earth. I love you. Yahweh bless you.